Blessed be the darkness, the vast expansion, the all-encompassing, all-surrounding womb of space. Blessed be the light, the penetrating point, the all-focusing, all-aligning core of creation. Blessed be the blade that divides the darkness from the light, thus generating duality, and from duality is all substance formed. The cleansing by water, the purity of salt, combining together, so merged we exalt. By the blade that separates the darkness from the light, the babe from the mother, and the world of the living from the realms beyond, I conjure this circle as a sacred place, shifting the confines of time and space, an island apart and a fortress between yesterday's sorrow and tomorrow's dream. Blessed be the vessel wherein the divided may unite. Welcome to the sixth episode of the Covening Podcast. I am your host, Lady Sitara. In the last episode, we completed our set of moon rites by adding a charge of the Dark Goddess. If you have been following along with me from the beginning, we now have a complete full moon rite, a complete dark moon rite, our first in-coven magical working, and our first coven sabbat, Candlemas, now under our belts, or under our cords, as it may be. This is enormous progress, and it indicates that it is time for me to open up my grimoire and start presenting you with coven lessons. We are going to address the windblown degree system and our checklists. We need a little orientation introduction to remind ourselves what we are doing and why. Back in episode 3, I talked about consciousness as being the primal building block of the universe. I talked about how our separateness from other people and perhaps from all of nature is an illusion. If that is truly the case, then every one of us, all of humanity, should be committed to making the world a better place for everyone. But unfortunately, that is not how the world works. Manifestation, what we think of as the physical world, Maya, is the illusion of separateness, and that illusion fosters competition with each other. It confers jealousy and greed, and we all experience those impulses. Maya, our illusion of separateness, also enables us to join together in joy. Some of us are also in touch with a part of ourselves that remembers, perhaps before we were born, an experience where we were more cognizant of the connections between all of us. We can easily imagine a world where people cooperate together and have compassion for each other and don't judge others by external characteristics. A world in which we all want to bequeath a beautiful, healthy earth for all our great-great-great-great-grandchildren. We long to create that paradise, that nirvana on earth for everyone, at least make significant strides in that direction. And every injustice to anyone cuts at us, even if it does not affect us personally or people we know. We are here in Coven not only for a support system, but also to nourish our own spirituality with others who understand our perspective, to realign ourselves with both the material world as it is and the world as we imagine it could be, but that it will never be able to completely achieve. Unlike religions that teach our God is the one and only God, the only true God and all others are imposters, the old religion teaches that we all already are one people. We just don't recognize it. And each person has their own filters of the universal consciousness in their brain, body, and senses. Therefore, a diversity of religions is required for the spiritual needs of all those different filters. Each person should have the freedom to find the spirituality or religion or religions or lack of them that works best with their own personal filters. This is also why diversity is so important. Because of our filters, we each have our own blind spots, and it is only through learning from others who are different from us that we can even recognize those blind spots. A coven can be an opportunity to form family-like relationships with people who are not from our same backgrounds and yet share many of our same values. We are all here because instead of perceiving one God, we perceive the divine as a diverse many, including a primary mother goddess who has given birth to the universe and all life in it. Windblown is a teaching tradition. The ones with the most knowledge and experience lead and teach others so that they too can be leaders in the future. The degree system enables us to present incremental levels of teaching so that the future leaders can be well-rounded and capable of presenting the same to their coven members. This is our starting place. The checklists make it possible for us to give credit for tasks that have already been mastered and identify what other tasks need to be completed. Lord Tamlin of Thistledown quickly pointed out that Windblown did not seem to attract people without prior experience. Originally, the word we used for a non-initiate who is learning our system was neophyte. But Windblown rarely has neophytes. You are not new. You may have been solitary for many years, perhaps even self-initiated, or you may have had prior coven training, but you relocated or your coven disbanded. Windblown has 3 degrees. If you have come to Windblown to learn our system and be initiated, we call you a dedicate or votary to indicate that you have dedicated yourself towards initiation. I know some groups use the term dedicant instead of dedicate, but I don't like the last 4 letters of dedicant. That is C-A-N-T, can't or cannot. Our dedicates definitely can. It takes a year or more to qualify for your first initiation. That is because you will be required to attend a full cycle of Sabbats before initiation, in addition to at least 2 dark moons and 9 full moons. If you miss 1 Sabbat, you will need to catch it in the cycle the following year. There are plenty of assignments during that period, but some of you may have already completed 1/2 of them. In that case, it is acceptable to work on dedicate tasks at the same time as you work on first degree tasks. In Windblown, there is no time requirement period between first and second degree initiation. We typically refer to first degree as initiation and second degree as elevation. Third degree is also called graduation. Third degree can happen no sooner than 1 year and 1 day after the first degree initiation. So a very ambitious covener, or one who already has a coven waiting for them to graduate, may do so in as little as 2 years and 2 days. And yes, that has happened, at least once that I know of. The priestess was well qualified even before she ever entered my circle. One thing that we do not do in Windblown tradition is pretend that there are great secrets that you don't learn until you are initiated, although typically I don't hand out teaching material beyond first degree until a covener has been initiated. Of course, with dedicates on an accelerated track, they need to see the next level assignments. Prior to initiation, the tasks include collecting or creating your own magical tools, including a robe with a hood, and a 9-foot cord for our rituals, a coven notebook, an image to represent the goddess, an image to represent the god, a wand, chalice, pentacle, a thami, censer, candlesticks, bowl for water, bowl for salt, kerfane, cloth for wrapping tools, and divinatory tools, perhaps a tarot deck or a pendulum. Whatever you create with your own hands holds greater power, or rather greater connection to you. Each of those items may have coven-specific requirements. For example, the athami must be a double-edged dagger with a black handle. Notice I did not indicate any particular material that it needs to be fashioned from. Its shape and color is what is important. We use natural materials for our tools and avoid plastic. The kerfane is a smaller, one-sided blade and must have a white handle. An athame is never used for anything other than magical workings. The only exception would be to defend your own life. A kerfane is generally used for magical cutting, for example, cutting the thread while you are hand-sewing your own robe. There is a story about a particularly obnoxious and mischievous covenor who found another covenor passed out drunk after circle and borrowed his athame to spread peanut butter on a sandwich. That athame needed to be cleaned, spiritually purified, and rededicated. Neither of those coveners were windblown, but they were off one of our parent lines. I know that many of you don't have the time to sew your own robes. I've hand-sewn at least 4 in my life, but I started with store-bought fabric. Follow whatever your elders suggest. Even if your tool was purchased, adding some personalization to it, perhaps inscribing or wrapping or changing some piece of it, is recommended. Your dedicate cord should be 9 feet long and will need to conform to the color that your coven elders have chosen to signify pre-initiates. I should probably warn you now that 1 month prior to your initiation, you will be surrendering all your tools to your coven elders for purification. You will get them back after initiation. Set up your home altar. Some of you may have living situations in which you cannot keep an open altar all the time. If that is the case, you will also need a storage container, perhaps a locking one. You will also need to submit a statement to your elders about your desire to be a witch and what that means to you, how you first discovered the goddess, your definition of paganism, pantheism, witchcraft, and what level of commitment you judge yourself to have in this endeavor, and why. What you hope to gain by joining the coven. In addition to all of that, sometime early in your association with your coven, you should be asked about your past and current spiritual affiliations, including any coven you may have circled with in the past, how long ago that was, and if you are planning to circle with them again. Some covens have rules that you may not be practicing with more than one coven at a time, and you will have to decide if that is true for your coven, and you must consider that it may be true for the other coven, so you may need to contact their elders and have a conversation. Windblown leaves that decision up to the coven elders of each group, because only they can determine how much extra work that will be for them, and if they have the energy to handle it. The most common practical problems are conflicts in scheduling and conflicts in lessons. But there is also the emotional challenge of jealousy and concerns that confidentiality shared within your coven might not stay within your coven. Occasionally, those concerns can be worked out, and addressing them early in the relationship increases the chances that they will be handled smoothly. The other reason we ask this question is to gauge a dedicate's expectations and prior exposure. Additional assignments in preparation for initiation include studying the coven rules and tradition and agreeing to them, or bringing to the attention of your elders what modifications you would prefer, either to accommodate your special needs or as a general rule change. Once you agree to the rules, you will be held to your word. It may feel risky to go to your elders with a modification request, but this is your opportunity to do so. You will also be required to read 5 nonfiction books, cover to cover, about witchcraft or closely aligned topics. Yes, it is okay to use audiobooks, library books, digital books. The important point is that your elders must approve of these books. Let me explain why. The requirement for the first few books is that they must be good orientation books, but not books of shadows. One of my coveners actually read Margot Adler's Drawing Down the Moon cover to cover. I gave her credit for reading 3 books for that, but it turned out she didn't need the extra credit because she had read more than enough qualifying books, even without that credit. Of course, I verified that she had read Drawing Down the Moon cover to cover by asking broad questions about specific parts in five different places in the book. The reason these books should be neither Books of Shadows nor Grimoires is because that will be your reading assignment in first degree in preparation for second degree. A Book of Shadows or a grimoire or spell books are good in-depth reading, but they are anchored to a specific tradition of witchcraft. Prior to initiation, I want you to read more general types of books, like folk traditions, moon lore, dictionaries of mythology, and books that might expose you to a wide range of varied mythologies, magic-related science, and/or witches' practices. Let me give you some more good examples. An Egg at Easter, or Discovering the Folklore of Birds and Beasts by Venetia Newell. The White Goddess, or The Golden Ass by Robert Graves. Positive Magic Occult Self-Help by Marion Weinstein, who you should also seek out on YouTube. Here's another heady one, Perceiving Ordinary Magic by Jeremy W. Hayward, or something more fun such as Moon Moon by Anne Kent Rush. I hope you get the idea. If you want, you may write to me and ask me to approve your selections. Think of this as your first year at university. We want to give you broad exposure, a broad foundation, before plunging you into the specifics of windblown witchcraft. This also means you can't pick five books on herbalism. It is too soon for you to specialize. Also, I don't mean to imply that you need to read all these books this year. Books that you have read in the past qualify, provided your elders approve of them for the checklist, and you remember them well enough to answer questions about the information in them. So find them again, skim through them, and then add them to your checklist. If you are a leader and your covenor brings you books for your approval, make sure you are familiar with the book yourself, skim it at least, and keep the general goals in mind. Is this book going to broaden the covenor's knowledge base? Does this book contain accurate information that is not going to conflict with the basic teachings that you are going to present? If the book is something like the Abraham book, Ask and It Is Given, or the Silver Mind Control book, I would suggest you encourage your covenor to read those books, but have them find different books for the checklist. If they bring you something by Anton Zander-Lavey, find out why they are drawn to that book. If it is for comparative exposure, let them know we generally do that in second degree. And make sure they are more comfortable with our type of witchcraft than his, otherwise they are in the wrong place. Remember, you're not telling them not to read the book. You're telling them it just doesn't qualify for the checklist. If you, as an elder, know of a particular book that you think is so important or central to the orientation of your coveners to either the coven or the old religion that you think every covenor of yours should read it, then include that as one of the required reading books. If it is a book of shadows or a grimoire of a particular tradition or orientation to witchcraft, like The Spiral Dance by Starhawk, for example, then include that in your first degree checklist. Very basically, here is what is studied at each degree. Before initiation, you want to provide a broad base of exposure to your covenor so they know what they are getting into. Teach them the mental map that they will share with other coveners once initiated. Assess their intentions and sincerity and their ability to get along with other members. Observe their study habits and how they respond to authority. Both, when you are reasonable and when you are unreasonable. If you don't do this early, you may wind up having to do it later, but be sure you are the ideal reasonable elder they would wish for more than you are unreasonable. One of the best places to be arbitrary is in your acceptance of their reading material. Watch their reaction when you reject one of the books they selected that clearly qualifies, perhaps one they read in the past. An initiation acknowledges and accredits a change that has already taken place. As the initiate studies and prepares for initiation, changes are already happening in their psyche. By the time they reach initiation, you should both feel like it was well deserved. Someone asked me if it was possible to study first-degree material and second-degree material at the same time, just as one might study dedicate and first-degree material at the same time. Of course, why not? Especially now when so many solitaries have lots of experience with first-degree material. During initiation, the covenor is presented to the elements. And after initiation, the covenor is considered capable of handling elemental energies in circle, like evoking and dismissing the elemental quarters or consecrating tools. First degree is what some people call craft or low magic, and Windblown does want every covenor to be familiar with all the basic forms of it. Candle spells, protection spells, herb lore, including making your own incense formulas and your own herbal tea. You should also be compiling your own book of shadows or liturgy and your own grimoire or spellbook. The first degree reading list is books of shadows of various witchcraft and or Wiccan traditions. Preparation for second degree include techniques of divination and understanding the mechanics of divination, techniques of raising power, different methods of meditation, and a guided meditation into an astral temple. The ritual for elevation is different than the ritual for initiation, and the oath is also different. It is going to take us a while to get to that one, because there is a lot of material I consider more essential and want to present first. Second degree work is sometimes called art or high magic. There is less interacting with tools and more interacting with the mind and a lot of energy work. This is more like graduate work, and you are permitted to specialize so long as you can learn all of the basics. If coveners are not in a rush to graduate, this is the level where they spend most of their years learning different lessons and modalities. There is high magic, banishings and evocations, invocations, Kabbalah and or runes, sigils and squares, learning how to create an astral familiar or fetch or guardian, shadow work and familiarity with the dark powers, astral travel and fine-tuning your astral temple, shamanism, hypnosis, and trance work. During second degree, coveners do things like spend time in what used to be called sensory deprivation tanks that are now called float tanks, or do a breathing technique called rebirthing, or spend time in sweat lodges. Most second-degree coveners keep a dream journal and learn at least a little about hypnosis. Some might take a course at the Monroe Institute. This might be a part of your independent study. Coveners at second degree are urged to do an independent study of a pagan-related system, for example, martial arts or belly dancing, shamanism, a deep dive into folk customs or traditional art forms, or a specific mythology. In the Pacific Northwest, we have an opportunity to study with a native group. Some second-degree coveners visit ruins and ancient sacred sites in their ancestral lands. In preparation for third degree or graduation, a covenor must attend rituals led by different Wiccan traditions. At least three of them should be what we call closed circles, in other words, inner court of a different initiatory group, and it must be three different groups. And the other three rituals can be outer court or rituals attended at a pagan festival. It is assumed that by second degree, a covenor has identified the pantheon that will become their coven pantheon when they graduate, and has started to create rituals for that pantheon. Before graduation, the covenor will lead our coven in a ritual of their own making with their own pantheon. The covenor will also, at another time, be put on the spot, sometime before graduation, to lead a coven ritual impromptu, including experience a drawing down and present a charge at a full moon. and maybe also a dark moon. Finally, while it is not specifically on our checklists, it is a good idea to learn about group dynamics and the function of the priesthood. Hopefully you have picked on some of that along the way or found some good study material. After graduation, the graduate will be a circle elder and may visit or officiate at circle or lead their own coven. It is the way of the craft to split and grow. Let's say you are a coven elder and a dedicate who is interested in joining your coven was previously affiliated with another coven in your same general location. Initiated or not, it is considered a common courtesy to communicate with their past elder. So you ask, when was the last time you circled with them? Do you mind if I contact your past elder as a courtesy? Do you have contact information for them so I can use it to contact them about you possibly joining our coven? Sometimes the dedicate will say no, and they may have a story about why they are saying no, in which case you tell them that you will consider them when at least a year and a day has passed since the last time they observed lunar holiday with another group. Or you are a coven elder and a dedicate who is interested in joining your coven self-initiated, perhaps many years ago. You need to ask lots of questions or a few open-ended questions and let your covenor talk. Try to assess how they came to know the goddess or nature spirits, or how they came to know they were a witch, and what that means to them, and what their motivation was, and what it is today. Ask them details about how they self-initiated. You have some judgment calls to make, and there are lots of potential answers. Use the checklists. They may qualify for accelerated lessons. What happens when a covenor needs special instruction? This happens more frequently than not, as we are all human, and each of us has our own blind spots. Sometimes it is something you can help with, and sometimes it isn't. You need to assess how much damage this person might do as an elder. If it is something that could affect the way they might lead a coven, try to imagine how. If you can imagine your covenor leading a coven of their own and not damaging their own coveners, then attempt to find an additional assignment for them to complete before their third degree that may help them to see into their own blind spot. Time for a couple more stories from the faraway land. There was a very gifted high priestess with a very strong sex drive, which she interpreted as falling in love with her soulmate. And when she fell in love, she fell hard, and the attraction to one specific man lasted for a long time, even if she wasn't actually in a relationship with the man who was the object of her attraction. She made life changes, including relocation and employment choices, based on her attraction. If her high priestess had been better prepared to handle this issue at the time, she would have insisted on one additional reading assignment as a requirement for her third degree. That reading would have been Why Him, Why Her? By Helen Fisher, Ph.D. It would not have fixed the situation, but it might have provided her with some insight and a handle on her attractions. Another story. There was a very gifted gay covenor in his 40s who had not had a lasting relationship nor a relationship with a man near his own age for at least a decade. Instead, he had an almost steady stream of young, attractive sex partners who were gay curious. They were all above the age of consent. So his elders watched him closely because they wanted to make sure this was not predatory behavior. Here is what they found. First, all the relationships were discussed in advance, and the younger men knew what he was and what they were doing. Second, yes, he was telling them that he was a witch, and that information may have been a lure that he used to initially capture the young men's attention. The young men would find him interesting for a while and soon leave. I don't know what could have been done for him. Maybe somebody listening knows. What concerned his elders was his inability to have either a lasting or a peer relationship. Ultimately, they decided that this behavior pattern might indeed affect how he led Coven, but that he was not misrepresenting himself nor harming anyone in any way, and there was no need to withhold graduation because he would not use graduation as a ploy for sex or money. He was personable and attractive and didn't need to offer initiation to get sex. His elders sincerely hoped that he found some fulfilling, lasting relationships. I was solitary for many years before I found Feriferia in Glendale, California. I circled with them until I graduated and returned to New York, where I found Circle of Naught in Brooklyn. That's how I got my first and second degree. Then I moved to upstate New York up the Hudson River and started circling with three other people from three different backgrounds, two high priests and one high priestess. But they wanted me to lead because, they told me, I had stronger training. So I contacted my previous high priestess, who had separated from her past high priest. She had moved to Maryland. I told her that I had a coven that wanted me to lead, and that I had completed the assignments she had given me for third degree, and I asked if she would be able and willing to provide that. Yes, she had a new partner and a new coven, and she would be delighted. So I sent her a big envelope with all my completed assignments. We used paper back then. It was before the internet or email, and we set up a date for me to travel to see her. I had two high priests to work with. None of the coveners were novices. We each rededicated ourselves and named the coven Thistledown. When I started reading the Wiccan books, the Stuart Ferrer books, for example, I was of the impression that when I was ready to lead a coven, the goddess would provide me with an appropriate high priest who would also be my life partner. Boy, was I wrong. I wasted 7 years of my life with a man who appeared right because I was attracted to him. He was already a Welsh traditional high priest. He was smart and educated and capable of sex, but incapable of intimacy. That's the kind of thing someone might not learn until they have been in a relationship with someone for a while. And I kept imagining that if I just approached him in the right way, that we could work it out. Finally, I left him because I did not like the person my frustration was turning me into. Because too many of us have had bad or unfulfilling relationships, I want to address something about that. Attraction is one of those life mysteries. Dr. Helen Fisher's research has made some significant strides into unraveling that mystery, but too many witches get caught in the trap of thinking that if an attraction happens and it isn't something we consciously chose, then it must be something that the gods directed. Do the gods direct attraction? Does your deep mind direct attraction? Yes and no. You are born on earth to have life experiences and learn lessons. What lessons did I learn by being with Lord Hades for 7 years? I learned that I have needs for a partner that he could not or would not fulfill. I learned that it did not make a difference if it was could not or would not, that the effect on me was the same. I learned that for me it was more important to have the right kind of life partner than an inadequate and perhaps abusive partner who was also a Wiccan high priest. I wish I had learned those lessons more quickly, and I think that one of the reasons I did not was because I believed the gods had directed me to him. Not only did I think the gods directed me to him, but I could not imagine that the gods would have directed me to him unless the potential was there for us to work out properly in the long term. That is not how attraction works. And so I am presenting this as a cautionary tale. In retrospect, I'm sure the gods also wished I had learned that lesson sooner. My next relationship was a good one, lasted more than 20 years, and only ended because my husband died. I am grateful for every hour that I got to spend with him. That will do for today. Yes, I really am going to be presenting the first degree initiation in the next episode, as well as the required memorization list and the windblown Wiccan code. Certain details of the initiation rites themselves need to be kept confidential. When I had my own initiations, some parts that I expected happened, but differently than what I expected, some parts that I expected didn't happen at all, and other things that happened I was not expecting. I think this is how it should be. To a certain extent, you need to let go of expectations and trust that what is going to happen will be what is right for you. More next week. Blessed be. By the blade that cleaves the darkness and light, the babe from the mother, and the world of the living from the realms beyond, I carve a tunnel to the mortal realm. As common persons, we are masked until the circle be recast. Sacred ground remain unseen. Silence rules the worlds between. Till next we answer magic's call and meet together, witches all.